On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We will look at redistricting efforts, a proposal to create a nonpartisan system, and what to expect once the 2020 federal census data is in. First, though, let's discuss Governor Evers' call for a special session of the legislature to expand Medicaid. Wisconsin is one of a dozen states that has not adopted expansion under the Affordable Care Act. That's the Kaiser Family Foundation keeping track. Republicans who control the legislature have repeatedly rejected Democrats' push for Medicaid expansion, but the governor said Thursday this time is different.
This time, if we don't expand Badger Care, then we're not just missing out on the opportunity to expand access to quality, affordable health care. We're also missing out on an additional $1 billion under the American Rescue Plan.
Do you support Medicaid expansion in Wisconsin? Are you on Badger Care? Have you heard of projects that the additional federal funds would support? It's 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief. He co-hosts the WPR Politics Podcast. Sean, welcome back.
Hi, Kate.
Good morning. So the governor is making a go again at Medicaid expansion. What is his approach this time?
So his approach this time is to basically reframe what he put in his budget that Republicans already took out of the budget, in the budget committee process. So what he did is he introduced that as a bill. And as part of that bill, he said, you know, all that federal money that Wisconsin would get by expanding Badger Care, here is what it would be spent for. So there is this additional $1 billion that Wisconsin would qualify for this year that was set aside for states that have not yet taken the federal expansion of Medicaid. And so, you know, between that and the, you know, increased federal payments for Medicaid that Wisconsin would get for expanding Badger Care, the state would be looking at about $1.6 billion in increased federal funding. The governor's saying, let's take that $1 billion sweetener payment that is a one-time payment that is basically just money from the federal government, and let's spend it for these very specific projects so that you can have an idea of what that $1 billion means and what this expansion would mean.
So projects in lawmaker districts, what are some of these big ticket items attached to the governor's proposal?
So some of them are, you know, pretty narrow projects, very specific projects. Some of them are more broad. You know, there's $100 million to replace lead pipes, $200 million to expand broadband, $100 million for bridge and local roads. There's $50 million for the Verso paper mill in Wisconsin Rapids. There's, you know, down to $4 million for a hospital in Darlington. A long list of dozens of projects that would get this funding.
Another is $150 million in putting toward the rainy day fund.
Yeah, and so that's an example that's not, you know, a specific project, say, but it would be taking this and, you know, setting aside a part of it for potential budget shortfalls in the future.
I was listening to Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke saying, you know, if the governor were serious about the proposals he packed into this bill, he could, fund each of them today with the mountain of federal funds at his direct disposal. Is that the sentiment from Republican lawmakers?
I think that is one of the things that you've heard from them is, you know, Wisconsin is getting, like other states, getting a lot of federal funding, quite a bit of it at Governor Evers' discretion that could potentially be used for these projects. In fact, some of the funding we know is going toward broadband. The governor already said he laid out $100 million in grants for broadband. So some of that is going to happen. And it's possible that some of these projects would receive or will receive funding from that, you know, allotment of federal funds that was part of the latest stimulus bill. But obviously that's not the way the governor is framing this. And so he's trying to say this Medicaid expansion equals these projects.
We're talking with Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief, as we look at the governor's call for a special session tomorrow on Medicaid expansion. Do you support Medicaid expansion in our state? Are you on Badger Care? Would you qualify if the program were to expand? 800-642-1234. Troy is joining us from Muskego. Hi, Troy.
Hello. I just think that the main reason why the Republicans are not for expanding it is because their donors, which a lot of them are capitalists, and a lot of those donors own insurance companies, and the insurance companies don't want anybody to anything that looks like we're going to socialized medicine or universal healthcare, because then they can't exploit the middle class for ridiculous premiums or whatever. They want the power. So that's the real reason why the Republicans are declining to expand Medicare for all. Expanding on Medicare.
Troy, thanks. Sean, why do Republican lawmakers oppose expanding Medicaid coverage?
So this came up in the budget committee a few weeks ago when they pulled the proposal out of the budget. I think it boiled down to a few arguments from Republicans. One, they refer to Medicaid, the expansion of Medicaid, as expansion of welfare, and they say they don't want to do that. They say that they don't want to, increase federal funding just because that's federal tax dollars. It comes from somewhere. And then they also talk about they like the system that Wisconsin has, where everybody up to 100% of the federal poverty level has access to Badger Care, whether you're a parent or you don't have kids, you have access to Badger Care up to 100% of the federal poverty level. And then between 100 and 138% of the federal poverty level, which is the group we're talking about here with this, that expansion.
Yeah.
That group can, in theory, purchase insurance on the federal marketplace. And so then you are going through the private insurance system, in an indirect way. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's the system that they have promoted in the past. They're under Governor Walker, there was an effort to kind of buy down the premiums a bit for that system. And that's something that they have definitely promoted. The counter argument you hear for that is that, practically speaking, somebody who's making that much money has a hard time affording the premiums for, that level of insurance.
So the governor calls a special session set for tomorrow. What might happen?
I think if you look at what happened in the previous special sessions that Governor Evers has called, not much is going to happen. In fact, Republicans said as much last week in a statement they released. They're going to gavel it shut, basically. When you hear that a governor has called a special session, it sounds like he's calling the full legislature in to discuss something, and it gives the impression that the full legislature will meet and debate this bill that the governor has presented. But they don't have to do that. I mean, what they have done under Governor Evers is they come in. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a legislator who does it. It could be legislative staff in some cases. In the Senate, I think they may have done that. They come in, they gavel open the session, say the special session is convened, and then they can just gavel it closed and say it's over. And so they've given every indication that that's what they plan to do with this one.
Is this a completely shut issue for Democrats? Are there any openings here for negotiation?
I guess you would say that there might be. It's a popular issue, mm-hmm. and you have seen expansion happen in other states. So, there have been openings there. If you look at the statements from legislative leaders, though, and there were statements out from the Assembly Speaker, the Assembly Majority Leader, the Senate President, the Senate Majority Leader, the co-chairs of the Budget Committee, they all said in unequivocal terms that they're not doing this. So, that makes it sound like this session, it's not going to happen. But, it's because it's politically popular, still something the governor's willing to push.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief as we discuss what's moving in the legislature. Moving on to redrawing political boundaries, what questions do you have about the redistricting process? How do you think Wisconsin's legislative maps should be redrawn? Can it be fair and transparent? How? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, we're getting up to speed on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So now to redistricting, when once a decade, the state uses the new federal census data to redraw political boundaries for congressional and legislative districts. Democratic lawmakers, they have a bill to give the power to a nonpartisan board to draw the maps. So how do you think the redistricting process will play out? How would you go about making it fair? What will redistricting mean for the next decade of Wisconsin politics? Join in 800-642-1234. WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson stays with us. So, Sean, redistricting, new census data, explain where Wisconsin is at in this high-stakes process of redrawing political boundaries.
We're kind of in a holding pattern right now, like other states, because there was a delay in the census because of COVID-19.
Yep.
And so the data that we get from the census to redraw political maps is slower coming out this year than it normally would be.
Okay.
And so I think they're looking at like August or so for getting that, the real detailed census data that is the building blocks of political maps.
Yeah. How does that census data parlay into actual, lines on a map and redrawing these districts?
Well, once that data is available and you have fine details of all these census blocks throughout the state, then, the people who make these maps, who are mathematical wizards and, have computer programs to kind of do their bidding, basically, they will use that to create alternative maps. You'll have somebody for Republicans doing it, somebody for Democrats doing it. You'll have somebody for the governor's People's Maps Commission working on map alternatives. Once that data is out there, they can get really precise and specific with drawing these lines.
And meanwhile, there are the courts, there are the lawmakers, there are the attorneys at the ready. Explain what you saw at the Supreme Court recently, rejecting a petition about redistricting.
This was a petition by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WILL, a conservative advocacy or conservative law firm, I guess you could say, group in Wisconsin. If there's a conservative cause here, a Republican cause here, they often have a hand in it. And so their petition was to basically require lawsuits involving redistricting to proceed immediately to the state Supreme Court. As soon as there's a lawsuit, it would basically be locked in to the court as the venue. And
the high court,
that's how
venue.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Supreme Court. Yeah. The state Supreme Court would be the venue. So there would not be any kind of dabbling around in lower courts. And in theory, I'm not sure that a state could have totally blocked a federal court from getting involved. But I think the idea was that this would have discouraged federal panels from potentially taking a redistricting challenge if they knew there was already something pending in the state Supreme Court and that Wisconsin had this rule where that's how redistricting proceeds. What happened, though, was that our state Supreme Court, which has a 4-3 conservative majority, issued not really a decision. This was a rules petition, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to be the automatic court where these challenges go. There were provisions in this proposal from Will that would have let the court draw a map based on alternatives that came forward from the governor and the legislature. You heard certain justices on the court when this was up for a hearing, Patience Rogensack, one of the conservatives, saying, we don't want to get in that business.
Or and even so, if we wanted to, we don't have the ability to do this.
Right. It will put a lot of focus on on them if that's what happens. So they rejected the petition, but you know, it's important to note cases could still end up before the state Supreme Court when it comes to redistricting. You know, the justices even said, we reserve the right to take these cases through a regular appeal process or through an original action, you know, where somebody petitions the court directly. The court says we can do this. It's just not going to be the rule that we have to do this.
We're talking with Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief. If you're just joining us, we're looking at the process of redistricting, what's happening in the courts. How do you think Wisconsin's legislative maps should be redrawn? Which factors should decide where district lines ultimately land? Join in 800-642-1234. So, Sean, a pair of Democratic lawmakers have pushed for a map-drawing process that removes lawmakers. Can you explain this approach?
It's a lot like Iowa, which has had this approach for a few decades now, where the maps are drawn by professionals at a nonpartisan agency. In Wisconsin, it would be the Nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau. We often, in shorthand, it's like the legislature's attorneys, but not like the private attorneys that they hire for, you know, a lawsuit on policy grounds. These are like the people who help them draft bills. And I think it's very fair to apply the nonpartisan label to those agencies because they work tirelessly to live up to it. So this plan would have the Legislative Reference Bureau draw these maps, and they would really be limited in what they can look at when they're drawing the maps. They would not be looking at election results or anything like that. They'd be looking at making them the districts roughly equal in population, you know, adhere to the Federal Voting Rights Act, the traditional redistricting criteria. Mm-hmm. And then once they do that, once they come up with a map, they would present it to the legislature, and the legislature would have a chance to vote it up or down. You know, they wouldn't be able to amend it. You know, when you're talking about amending a map, you're talking about changing the district lines. So they wouldn't be able to do that. It would be an up or down vote. If they voted down, it would go back to the Reference Bureau. They'd do it again, and the process would go repeat a second time, to the point where eventually the legislature would have the map in, you know, an amendable phase where they could change it, but they'd have to get, I think, a 3/5 vote to change it. So it would be very hard to do, and it would require broad bipartisanship to do that. So there's all sorts of kind of stopgaps in this bill to prevent partisan people from, carrying out their partisan wishes.
And the governor had wanted to go with the People's Maps Commission, or making it a very public process. What is the status of that?
The People's Maps Commission is a little bit different, and they held meetings virtually, you know, last year with a focus on different congressional districts, but over Zoom. Mm-hmm. And so what the People's Maps Commission is now in the process of doing is drawing its alternatives, you know, its maps. And so one of the things that they are going to look at is they're going to look at those traditional redistricting criteria. Make sure that the districts are equal and population is kind of a biggie. One of the things that they're going to look at, though, that is different is that they are going to prioritize maps that emphasize, or I guess reflect, partisan fairness. Mm. So what does that mean? They're going to look for maps that reflect what Wisconsin looks like in statewide elections. And you know, look at the last 5 years, which is what they would be looking at for statewide election results. We've had a couple of presidential elections decided here by about 20,000 votes, about as close as they come. So they would be saying a map that kind of reflects that would be something that we would prioritize more than a map that is more lopsided.
Sounds like litigation is imminent. In the last few seconds, how are Republicans preparing for lawsuits?
Well, I mean, everything is in kind of the early going right now. And right now there's a lawsuit over lawyers, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, the Republicans had hired private attorneys. A Democratic attorney in Madison, Lester Pines, sued, and I mean, his firm did, said you can't have lawyers on standby when there's no redistricting case yet. And that argument won the day at circuit court in Dean County, you know, the first challenge. A judge said, yeah, actually, that's correct, and said, you know, you can't have attorneys right now on standby for redistricting. So Republicans are appealing that, and that's kind of the status of things right now, is they, as of this moment, are not allowed to have these attorneys on standby. But you can bet whatever the case, once redistricting cases are happening, you know, there's going to be a lot of attorneys involved.
Sean, thanks for the update.
Thanks, Kate.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief, co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Madison area Representative Francesca Hong is here. We'll pick it up with her after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.